The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to another Mission Minded. State your name, sir, and what organization are you with?
Michael Coleman with the Heart of Alabama Food Bank.
Can you please spell Coleman for me for the records? How you doing, brother? Everything good? Mission Minded, of course. He's the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, and we do a show called Mission Minded every week. And it started off as kind of a non-for-profit. We also do a show called Bite by Bite, which is really good. And that'll air right after this show here on TKR. But we always get into some interesting things. I wanted to throw something out. We were having a discussion, you and I, before we started the show. We were talking about bosses. And marriage, and men for the most part have two bosses in their life. One's their wife, and the other one is the man at work, right? The boss at work. And we were talking about self-employment. There are more people now in this country that have started a new business than any other time in the history of record keeping. More people have started, and I think a lot of it came from COVID. People are like, I can do this, or maybe they had an epiphany, or they're like, wow, I've been working at home and I like staying at home. Let me start this new business. I know a lot of women are into real estate now. It seems like everyone's a real estate realtor. Everyone's selling homes. I don't know how many realtors are out there. But I was talking about, you know, when was the last time you actually had to answer to somebody? And people are always like, wow, it must be really nice to be your own boss. And I said, it's got its upsides. I said, but you have to be incredibly disciplined, which I'm not really good at, and you have to be incredibly responsible. I said, because if you don't answer to yourself, then you don't have things to eat and you have a family to provide. And I was thinking to myself, is it more difficult for women to not have a boss or more difficult for men not to have a boss? Because I felt like my entire life I needed to have a boss.
Wow. Boy, I don't know. That's something that maybe I'd have to sit down and really think that through. I think it's more, my guess would be more personality driven rather than gender driven. For instance, for me, I'm a procrastinator, and I know I'm a procrastinator. And a lot of that is because of my, I have ADHD, and so my thoughts are all over the place. And I always need something that kind of forces me, and deadlines force me into having discipline to buckle down. It doesn't give me any leeway. And so I'm somebody who does better with structure. And so sometimes when you have a boss and boss with expectations, that can take somebody. I mean, of course, there's women like me too that are, you know, that are kind of all over the place that need that discipline. So I don't know if it's so much of a gender thing as it is maybe personality wise. I'm an extrovert. I love going in people's office and, you know, chewing the fat with them. Hey, how'd your weekend go? Just doing the relationship thing. I think there's great value in that, but I run the introverts in my office crazy who are like, please get out of my office. I've got this work to do. That's all I want to do is work. And I, you know, I've got my plan for the day. You're interfering with it, with your minutiae and your thoughtfulness and your relationship building. Please just go away and leave me alone.
Yeah, I can understand that. I guess it's like ants. You know, you have to have worker ants, you have to have queen ants, you have to have everyone that has their own little role to play. And you know, the definition of unity is when everyone does their job to the best of its ability, you put it all together, you have yourself a unit. And I learned that in psychology. And
well, this is kind of a side thing, but I had not thought about it till you mentioned that. But you know, one of the reasons people do have so many jobs, I'm not surprised by that, is because you have things like Uber, where, you know, you can go out and make a living and you just use technology and it connects you to your customers. I saw something yesterday for the first time, and it makes all the sense in the world. I love it when good ideas and technology come together. It's like an Uber, except you don't care anywhere, but it's for pickup trucks. If you have a pickup truck, somebody can call you just like they would call an Uber, say, hey, I'm at Home Depot, I'm at Walmart. Like, if you don't have a truck, you can call somebody. They will load up the truck. If you're buying fertilizer, wood, you know, construction supplies, whatever you need, whatever you would normally need a truck for. And you just go on the app and you have somebody come in and and I don't know how they do the pricing or whatever, but I guess they drive and they load it up and they take it to your house or wherever you want it to be.
That's a pretty
And
good idea. Well, as opposed to have to go rent a truck and stuff, and I guess, you know, for, yeah.
yeah, if you just need it just to run down to the, and so I thought that it's a, it makes all the sense in the world. There's so many times I just got rid of a truck, and it was kind of a beater, but it, like, we kind of used it, you know, and I let anybody use it. It was kind of a neighborhood truck, family truck, anybody needed one. But I finally got rid of it, and sure enough, then you realize
You need a
all the
truck.
times you need a truck as soon as you get rid of
When
it.
you have a pickup truck, you end up finding out you need it a lot more than you think you do.
That's right.
I certainly not on the same stretch of land that you are, but I had this idea the same way, but it was for drunk drivers, where it was a tow truck, but the tow truck gave you a ride. And I could never figure out, because the majority of people don't want to drink and drive. They don't want to have to go get their vehicle in the morning, because someone's
Right.
going to drop them off, and then they're going to have to figure out. Particularly if it's a work day, you're going to have to get up, call a cab, get to your vehicle. If you're going to go get to your vehicle, I got news for you. You're better off driving drunk and not letting her find out about it than if she ends up going, "Where's the car?" And you're like, I did the right thing last night, honey. I didn't drink and drive. I left on the side of the road. Well, we don't have a vehicle and the kids need to go to school," kind of thing. So if you had something where you paid an extra $100 and you sat in the front seat with the tow truck driver,
That's interesting.
You get home, and I can't figure out why we don't own that. Why we don't have that idea. Where's
Yeah,
the
that's very
where's the
interesting.
liability in it? Hell, I could sit in the car and you could tow it with me in it. But I mean, they tow your car and you're standing there on the side of the road with no way to get home. Most people don't want to have that. So anyway.
I don't know. I wonder if the tow truck driver, how he'd feel about it if you blew chunks right there in his tow
I
truck.
know what you probably, well, you know, you got a credit card, brother. I mean, you got a cleanup fee. So there you go. All right, let's get into what you wanted to get into. A great article here, and I love these articles where there's copy points, there's points, because there's always a couple of them that are kind of head scratchers, and certainly in this list too. But how to ask for a favor, I love this because it just made me think of all these different things this could go. Like, are we talking about a promotional favor? Are we talking about a favor like, "Hey, I need you to pick up my dry cleaning"? What kind of favor are we talking about here? And of course, that aligns with that. There are about eight or nine different things that go along with that. So I wanted you to kind of go through these things. But first of all, just talk about the word favor in the first place. You got people in your office. You got people that never ask for anything, and then you got people that ask for things all the time. Just talk about those two types of people, then we'll get to the list.
I mean, I could just look at any given time and it's me, it's other people in the office. I mean, think about it. You have to go get your car repaired or some work done on it. You drop it off that morning. Somebody brings you to work, typically. Now you could get an Uber, that's true. But you're at work all day. You don't know if it's going to be done that day, or you're going to have to go get a rental car. Somebody in your life is going to have to transport you, or maybe you're here and, man, I left my lunch. You know, now somebody's got to give me a ride to get some lunch, or I left my wallet at home. Hey, man, can you pick me up? Or it could be work related, which is, hey, I've got this big project coming up, or I've got this, and I just need somebody to sit down and bounce some ideas off of and just brainstorm with. It could be, I mean, hey, I'm going through some things in life. I just need somebody to bounce some emotional stuff off. You know, wherever we go in life, I've seen people who try to get through life alone. Excuse me. And it's really sad to think how lonely life can be and how challenging life can be when you don't have family connections. And it may be you have family, but you don't have people in your immediate area who can offer assistance. And so the reality is, with people who aren't used to being in a lot of relationships, like I said, I'm extroverted. It's easy for me. I don't like going because you don't want to bother somebody,
Sure.
but you know, I'm all the time talking to people. But especially introverts or people who are very self-reliant and they, hey, I don't want to ask anybody for any favors because I don't want to owe any favors, that kind of mindset. Lots of times they really just don't know how to do it. And so there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of paralysis in that. And so they end up sometimes that fear drives them to not even ask the question, even though the help is likely there and people most of the time don't really mind helping out. And I remember one time somebody told me this a long time ago about when somebody offers to do something for you, and because of either pride or you feel like, well, I don't want you to bother, or whatever it is, we rarely do we look at it as we're depriving them of the blessing of serving. And there's a lot of people who, when they do something special, help a friend out at no cost, or listen to somebody's troubling story, or encouraging them in some way, they walk away that day saying, "Yeah, that may have been a little emotionally draining, but or time consuming, but I helped my fellow coworker, or I helped my friend, or I helped my sibling, whatever it is." And it is truly something that comes only from giving within yourself. And if everybody shut off to that, and lots of times somebody is trying to extend a blessing to you, lots of times for the wrong reasons, not because we don't need it, but because of pride or other reasons, we actually deprive people of giving us a blessing. So, and when we're afraid of it, we're like, I don't want to burden other people. And I get that. I have that same sentiment at times. But when it comes to everybody, we've got to get in the mindset that this is a shared community. And whether you're in the business world, whether it's personal, whether it's church, whether it's family, extended family, whatever it is, we need each other. And there's going to come times where people are going to ask you. And we also have to turn around and recognize the times where we need help from other people.
This is a God thing to the core, and that is we're here for two reasons: to love one another and help one another. And you just nailed it. And I work with a lot of people in AA programs, support programs, and I'm like, if you don't reach out to somebody when you need somebody to speak with, first of all, you know, they always say, you know, if you have a problem, you share it, you're having your problem, right? But
Yeah.
if you're not reaching out to somebody, you're taking that opportunity for them to bless you.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you're like, I don't want to be a burden. You're not a burden. And
Yeah.
in most cases, sometimes it's funny because sometimes someone will be calling me because they've got an issue and I'm the one that ends up blah, spurting everything out. And
Yeah.
it makes them feel better because
Sure.
because they forgot about their problems at least long enough to hear my garbage.
Yeah.
That happens
There's
all
a that's a
the time.
shared experience
Yeah,
and
it happens all the time. But I mean, don't take that away from people.
Yeah.
Listen, you'll be able to read the room, and if they're like, I'm just too busy, or they're not the kind of person you want to share anything with, I certainly understand it. But sometimes by not doing that, you're not only encapsulating the problem yourself and letting it manifest or into something much bigger, but you're also not allowing that friend of yours, that brother, that father, that brother, that coworker to take some of that off you and help you get through it. And it's nice to know have you got somebody got your back. It's good.
Yeah, and that's what kind of what this article is about. Is about, you know, how do you get into that? How do you do that for people who struggle with that? There's inevitably going to come a time where you need some help, and so this is kind of where you have to, even though it's not. And I have somebody in mind that I work with, and she just comes right out and says, you know, she it's painful for her to build relationships. But the truth of the matter is, we need human capital. And just like we save money, everyone, we take a little bit of our paycheck and we put it in the bank, and it's an investment because we're going to need it for later. That's what relationship building is. And so it may not be natural to you, or it may be a little awkward, but just stopping and taking a few minutes and investing your interest in somebody else and saying, how was your weekend? Like, not just in passing, like, oh, it was good. You know, how about yours? Oh, it was good. I get that. But I'm talking about just genuinely asking a couple of questions. Did you do anything special? Did you, hey, is it, you know, if you're a spiritual person, hey, I'm spending some extra time in prayer today. Just want to know, is there anything in particular, I could pray for you about,
Oh, yeah.
you're just showing interest. And when you project that you care about people, then what you will find is the openness, it's opening up doors to where you will feel their warmth. You will feel the relationship. And so when you have that kind of relationship, then it's much easier to transition into, oh, by the way, you know, this isn't the first conversation that you have with them is, oh, by the way, I need a favor.
Yeah.
You've talked, you kind of know each other. You're starting to get to know the family a little bit. Oh, by the way, would you mind on your way home today if you drop me off so-and-so, so-and-so? It makes it much easier when you've already invested in the relationship.
Well, let's get some of these favors knocked out. He's Michael Coleman, CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. I'm Tony Curry. Mission Mind. Keep your mind, your mission, your mind. Bite by bite right after this show. First one is build a relationship. You've just kind of spoken about that.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, the foundation is you got to be able to be willing to invest in others, and you build that, but you're doing it not necessarily for in the moment, but you're investing, just like, you know, your pay. You're putting it aside. You're building that human capital so that as time goes on, they can come to you. You come to them, but it all starts with the relationship.
Be prepared to hear no. Yeah, it's something. It's interesting because you hear this a lot. If you young whippersnappers out there right now, you're going to hear this a lot as you get older. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say no. So be prepared to hear the word no. What does it mean?
Yeah, and just understand that you're asking them to do something outside of their norm, and it's not necessarily a rejection of you or rejection of the friendship, how they feel about you. Sometimes it's just not possible. Nobody ever enjoys being told no. I mean, salespeople, I do it with fundraising. You know, you send out these fundraising requests, people just go, hey, I don't have to give no. You know, the answer is no. They may not even verbalize it. You may just not get the response back. So, but people, part of the fear is being told no. But you have to understand it with how it's meant. It's not meant as a rejection of you. It's just meant I cannot meet your needs at this given time. Now, we all have the ride or die with, right?
Yep.
You know, like there's people you could call up, and I've got people in my life, I'm like, dude, you call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, you need to go talk and get a cup of coffee at the Waffle House, I'm there with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But you know, sometimes you just have to be prepared for that alternative.
We got the Kentucky Derby coming up this weekend, and the number 3 point is play the odds. I like this. I'm a numbers guy, so I don't know if this means anything with, you know, betting on ponies, but playing the odds, I do like the odds. What are we talking about here?
Well, I kind of, when I was looking at that, it's understanding that you have, I kind of skimmed over that a little bit, because it was talking about creating the best situation by which somebody could respond back in a favorable way, looking at the people that you're closest to.
Basically, what I got out of it is, like, if you ask one person, you're putting all your eggs in one basket, and they say no, it's over. But if you ask 10, it's, you know what it is?
Yeah.
It's asking a girl out in college. You ask 10 of them out, there's a chance one of them will say yes.
Right.
And if you only ask out two or three, your odds go down.
Right. You're right. And when I saw that, it's like it goes back to, are people investing enough to have 10 relationships at work? You know,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you got to put that time up front, you got to. But I really like the next one, which was, hey, you got to make it easy for them to say yes. So I've had people go, Michael, can you do so and so for me? And I'll be like, well, sure. Let me, you know, tell me what I got to do. Well, I need you to take me to this, and then I'm going to go in the store, and I'm going to come back out, and then I need you to bring me back here. I got to do this, and just gets so complex. I'm like, dude, I don't have that kind of time. I don't have that kind of bandwidth.
Yep.
So make sure that when I think about this, is making it easy for them. And so you got a pool of people. You're exactly right. Make, you know, the odds, spread it out. be ready to ask a bunch of people, but make it as easy as possible. Anything that you can do for yourself that you could do in advance to smooth that transition, to make the favor easy. And especially when you're talking about, you're taking up somebody's emotional energy. Because sometimes when I can sit there sometimes if I'm in a bad spot and just, I could end up talking for an hour. And somebody who is being nice, who's being kind, is like, in the mind, okay, I got 10 minutes to give you. They may not say that out loud. And so I want to make it easy for them to just be there. If I abuse that every time, then they're going to be like, hey, whatever you do, don't get in a long talk with Michael, because he won't let you go.
As the person who's performing the favor, is it okay to put a time constraint on someone? Is that approachable? Because you're giving me, we would normally love, sure, what do you got, man? My day's open all day Saturday. I got you. But most people don't want to do something on Saturday. So right. So I will lie. I'll make some. I got a 2 o'clock coming up, but I could go anywhere before 2 o'clock, because sometimes it's because I know the person who's asking for the favor is one of those people that says, I need a lift here. And did you call the guy and tell him you're on the way? No. And so we're sitting there for 30 minutes. The next thing you know, it turns into a 3 hour thing. It could have taken 15 minutes if it had been a phone call.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with it. And that just goes back to setting up good, healthy boundaries. And so when somebody says, hey, Michael, do you have a minute to talk? I look and I go, hey, I don't have my next Zoom is in 20 minutes. It's yours. So I've set the boundary. Mm-hmm. And I'm giving all my available time. I'm telling them is theirs. If I determine in the conversation that that's not enough time, I can say, I can still cut it off and say, hey, let's follow up with a phone call this afternoon or here tomorrow, whatever it is. So, no, having boundaries is really healthy, and some people will need it because they will pull you into their world, and then they just start vomiting out their life, and you're not even prepared to handle that.
Keep it dead simple. I'm assuming that's kind of what we just did here. You're asking, if you're asking someone for a favor and you want them to ask, you're planning on asking them multiple times for favors, because a lot of people are like that. Don't screw them over the first time. I've done that a million times. Because my time is the most important thing that I own, and it's my time, and I'm more than happy to share it. But just tell me what the deal is. Keep it simple.
That's right. And then when you look at when they mention ensure it's a win-win.
Yeah.
One of the things I really love in fundraising is, and fundraising is tough because you're asking people to give their hard-earned money to support something that you're passionate about. So you're trying to bring them and connect with them and help them become emotional about the cause and enough that they're going to give of their means. And I'm trying to be very respectful of that and to bring them in. So I always try to bring up a win-win, like, yes, you're doing me a favor, but I don't want to be all you giving and all me giving. Mm-hmm. So there's been times like where I've said, hey, I've got to go here, but if you could give me a ride over here, but we're going to go past my favorite shake. So what I'd like to do is, let me introduce you to these milkshakes. On the way over there, drive through there, I'm going to buy you a milkshake, and it's going to change your life. I mean, that's such a tiny example.
Sure.
But something to where it's not like I'm paying for it, or it's not like, hey, I can't accept a favor without having to pay it back. Or it could be, hey, if you could take me over here so-and-so, that would give us some time to talk about this project coming up. Or this would give us some time to talk about this other area that you're wrestling with. Anything. And that's, in a relationship, you'll know some things.
Yeah.
It could be something as, hey, we just want to spend some quality time together. And there's a new song I want you to listen to. Hey, when we go over there, I want to introduce this new song to you. Just anything like that, that is more than just them giving and you receiving. It's an opportunity in some way to reconnect by giving back.
Find a common connection. What does that mean?
Yeah. Lots of times when you're looking for building that relationship and you're needing a favor, I try to find, common interests, especially in the area I might need favor. So let's say I'm taking on building, which I did, and of course ended up having to call somebody in to finish the job of renovating my bathroom. But Then I started asking around. Man, I just need somebody to bounce some thoughts against. And so I'd go around and say, "Hey, has anybody here ever done any renovation, any carpentry, any tile laying in their bathroom, anything like that?" And so you find people who have a common interest, and they may say, "Oh yeah, I've done that before." And I'm like, "Do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions?" So I'm seeking out a favor, but I'm finding somebody who genuinely is interested in it, and you can do that with all sorts of things in your office. And then the last thing is that pay it forward. Boy, I tell you,
Preach it, brother.
yeah,
Go, baby.
I'm telling you, I remember. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of Hillary Clinton, but I do remember she took a beating from my conservative brethren when she wrote a book called It Takes a Village. And back then there was a lot of criticism, like, well, that's the problem. Parents aren't taking care of their own kids. But when I grew up, if you think about it, if you just take the emotion of maybe I don't like the person who wrote it or whatever. But it was true when I grew up, which was you looked after each other. I knew my father. If my father's friends saw me doing something, they would feel just as free to snatch me up and tear my tail up as my father would. It wasn't that super uber helicopter parent sensitivity BS that we have today. It is, hey, your kid's doing something, any
They
fair
get angry
citizen.
with you if you didn't snatch their kid up.
That's right. That's right. Because you're going to get it more. It wasn't going to be like you get home and your
No.
dad calls him up fussing at him. You're going to get another one when you get home. So the idea, though, is it truly does sometimes take. So if you are somebody who's been blessed by somebody, the idea is, look, I may not have a lot of money. I may not have a lot of time. I may not have a lot of knowledge. But whatever I have, I want to make the world better. I want to make my business. I want to make my office. I want to make my home. I want to make my neighborhood. I want to make my church. I just want to make my community. So whatever I have, I've been blessed by others. So I want to then pay that forward in a way. When I first started hearing about pay it forward, you'd see it like at a Starbucks. You would say, "Hey, I want to pay for the order for the people that's behind me." And the idea was you kind of get that train going and everybody would just kind of follow suit. I've seen the big joke now to where they go through and they go, "Hey, that guy behind me, he's picking up my tab forward." But no, it's so when you've been blessed, the greatest thing in the world, I mean, that changes people's perspective is to go out and bless, find a way to bless others in any way that you can. Boy, your life will be so much more fulfilling. So having said all that, is asking a favor hard for some people? It really is. We want to be self-sufficient. We get prideful about it. I don't need a help. I'll be glad to help other people, but I don't need help. But the reality is, for some people, it's very difficult. And these are just some things that will help you think about it. If somebody asks you for help, we need to be that person who recognizes I've inconvenienced people. I've required other people's time, money, effort, all those kind of things. I want to be that seeks to better these other people by paying it forward in their life and blessing them.
And when you do something for somebody, you always got a leg up on them too. You always got that hanging over their head.
That's right.
Don't
That's
you
right.
remember when I gave you a ride last week?
That's right.
What is wrong with you?
So if none of these tips help, always go back to manipulation.
Well, you owe me one. Well,
That's right.
see, that's a lot of people won't ever ask for favors because they know the next one's coming back is going to be much bigger than the first. Michael, great stuff, man. How can people find you?
Yeah, go to hafb.org. I'm on LinkedIn. Anything I can ever help anybody with, you got a question, don't hesitate to reach out to me and be glad to help anybody I can.
And make sure you listen to our other show called Bite by Bite. It's a little shorter, but we're going to be talking about technology. It's coming up here next year on Tony Curry Radio.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.